Parables, Commentary for the July 27, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. The parables of Jesus have always intrigued me. As a child, they seem clear in their meaning, and that has not changed over time. Yet the parables in Mark chapter 4 are presented in a context that indicates they are difficult to understand. I think if we look more deeply at them, we can find the reasons that they are hidden from some. In Jesus' parable of the sower has control over where the seed is sown, and his choice to sow carelessly, so that the seed falls in unsuitable places, is contrasted with sowing the seed in fertile ground. If the seed is the gospel, it is saying that the one who sows in unfertile ground is wasting their time. Modern examples of that may be large-scale mailings of The Great Controversy by Ellen White. Most, if not all, of those mailed are tossed and never read. But some think that even if only one person converts, it is worth the expense and effort. Jesus seemed to disagree. When addressing the Pharisees, he said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." Matthew 23:15. When he sent out his disciples, he instructed them, "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Mark 6:11. There is no command in Scripture for us to sow on stone instead of fertile soil. But we bypass many who would love to hear the word of the Lord to minister to those who have little interest. Only God can soften hearts, according to Ezekiel 36:26. Let him prepare the ground. Those who are ready will come to us just as they did to Jesus. Does this mean that a lot of people will come? Jesus said that before his coming, it will be like it was in Noah's time, in Matthew 24:37-39. Back then, people were absorbed in the daily round of needs and activities with little thought of God or those who represented him. Only 8 people cared about God enough to find salvation. It is not much different now. We have mega churches presenting the prosperity gospel, which turns the Bible into a get-rich-quick swindle. Others teach that austere obedience is God's path for us. In a world where too many Christians no longer believe in the power of prayer, God seems irrelevant. When we need saving, money is dependent upon to do the trick. Although we do not bow before a carved golden idol, gold is still the object of worship in a world that believes God does not exist. Those who earnestly seek him discover otherwise. Jeremiah the prophet, speaking for God, said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. That leaves little room for other things like gold. History teaches us of the voracious human appetite for gold. The gold rush spawned by the discovery of gold at Sutter's Mill had people crossing continents and oceans to claim some for themselves. They paid a high price, with 1 in 12 finding death instead of gold. The Alaska Klondike gold rush was even worse, with 7 out of 10 either dead or unaccounted for. What a different world this would be if we chose to put forth that much effort to know God. We do not have to cross continents or brave harsh weather. He's nearby. We are admonished by the prophet Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. The same prophet tells us that if we seek God earnestly, Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Isaiah 30, verse 21. There is a certain amount of mystery in all of this, just as there is in growing crops. We know that the right combination of sun, soil, and water will cause seeds to germinate, even if we do not understand how something dead like a dry kernel of corn can suddenly spring to life. The same things happen in a relationship with God. Some might plant corn and go out the next day expecting full-grown corn stalks with full ears of corn on each one. But nature will soon set us straight, as Jesus pointed out. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because a harvest has come. Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. But this mystery only happens when we sow in fertile soil. God and the angels take care of the harvest. Jesus revealed this in his parable of the weeds when he said, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." Matthew 13, verse 39. It is reasonable to believe that the same one who expects a harvest would make sure to provide that fertile ground before sending sowers out into his field. Not one seed can be forced to grow any larger than its genes allow. Walking in the field, one can see that no two stalks are identical, even though the seed may have all looked the same. Diversity is God's intention. While we may stumble over those whom God is nurturing in ways we do not understand, if we wait upon the Lord, his ways will become clear over time. No matter how diverse the population, some whom we may never have suspected and would have turned away from our church doors have been nurtured by the Holy Spirit and are wholeheartedly seeking God. Despite not understanding God's character fully, they feed a deep heart yearning, telling them that something better than this world exists. Little children understand this. Before they are harnessed as adults to a production process for decades until they can no longer physically continue, they see the world with a wonder that must have filled the hearts of Adam and Eve as they gazed upon Eden. They are eager to walk with God, just like Enoch, until someone comes along and tells them, "God is like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. He's not real. If he were real, there would be no suffering." But C.S. Lewis pointed out in his book, Out of the Silent Planet, that God is actively engaging evil. Currently, he has over 8 billion interventions he has sent. Unfortunately, far too many have abandoned the task and have gone over to the other side, killing one another for a stake on a sick planet instead of bringing healing. They bring sickness and death. They would sooner kill someone who is different than to embrace them as a part of God's diverse creation. I remember as children, we would scour the neighborhood for other children to get up a game of softball. It did not matter if they were male or female, the color of their skin, if they talked funny, or any one of a thousand differences. We just knew unless we had enough people, we could not have a game. But as adults, we act like the game no longer matters more than the possibility that someone different may come to be on the team. In Jesus' time, that would be the tax collectors and sinners. He welcomed them, though he was criticized by the religious leaders for it. Just like with our ball games, a greater purpose overruled all of that. Charlie Brown, a cartoon character created by Charles Schulz, reminds me of how it is. Charlie Brown was always trying to find people to play ball and then get them all going in the same direction to win a game. Frequently frustrated, he never gave up and accepted all who were willing onto the team. While Charlie Brown was building his team, there were star players playing in stadiums somewhere. But he knew that it was not his mission to seek out the star athletes for his Sandlot team. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." The openness of those tiny hearts is what the kingdom of God is made of. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast at our website, www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of commentaries, podcasts, articles, and links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.